This is in Motewood Green.
Motewood.
Which is the first turning south and left of Broadwater Road after the manufacturing areas. Right. And I thought, well, the first things I remember when I could swing on the gate around the back of the house, which allowed me to get to the front of the house, which had an open garden, which gave me access. Well, I wasn't supposed to swing on the gate in the first place, and I remember falling off and looking at stacy stalks going into the very corner of my eye, but not the eye. Anyway, this gate was quite important, and I used to be able to play in my parents' garden, as well as the tennis courts, which were at the back of our houses in Pear Tree, between Motewood Green and Pear Tree Road. And I used to swing on this gate, and we had steamrollers in those days. That is a steam-driven machine with two large, big back steel wheels and a roller in the front. The roller was split in two, and therefore it clanked. And I would be on the gate, and I'd hear a steam whistle, and then I could hear the clanking of the roller. So I would get out outside the gate, my mother not knowing. I went out and onto the corner of Broadwater Road and Motewood Green, there was an oak tree. And I found that this machine was rather frightening, this great big steamroller. Anyway, I hid behind that tree, and as one does, and moved round as it went past. It was quite frightening. And much to my amazement, that tree is still there now. So what it was like going back to about 1930, 78, that's 80 odd years ago. So it must have been somewhat slimmer than it is now. Anyway, that was one of my things I used to do, is to go out and watch the traffic going by, particularly the steamroller. Now the other thing, one morning, it was a foggy morning, I was on the gate and I heard a noise. Didn't mean anything to me, but this noise gradually got louder and louder and louder until I realised it was not down the ground, it was up in the air. And I looked up, and through the variable cloud, I just saw a grey, interminable shape going past with a series of lines running along its length. And it just went on. I shouted out to my mother. Well, I don't know what I would have said to her. She came out. Anyway, many years later, I found out that it was the R101 that later crashed in France. This was his maiden voyage. So that's something that I learned later. Now, if I'm going to go on from there, my parents used to play tennis at the back of the court, which was very nice, and I was a ball boy and showed no great promise anywhere for
tennis.
Which
tennis club would that be?
Oh, no, I don't. Well, it was Motewood Green. Motewood Green. There is a green, and I never found out the history about it. But it's between Pear Tree Lane and Broadwater Road. 30, 31. I think the airship went over in 31, which would make me four. There's the 20th Mile Bridge, and on the northeast corner there was a very black, murky pond. And so if one was going to get a train from where my father was, going down Broadwater Road, one would go to the bridge and turn right, and there was a pathway across the field to where the Hartford line first you had to cross over at the station, onto the platform. That's where my father went to work. Anyway, the other things I could do, this pond had lovely great crested newts things in it, and we had a number of these which we brought back and put in a can. She had a good voice. She was trained at Trinity College, London, so she helped me to sing a bit. In fact, we used to sing to the troops during the war in Trevelyan House. I used to do a couple of songs with my mother as well, which was I don't know how we got into that side of it. She, my father, eventually my brother, sister and I all sang St. Francis Choir. But in the early days, there was a drama, I don't know what you call it now, things like Gilbert and Sullivan. The local music society was a serious classical repertoire. There was this other group, and my grandfather played a banjo too. So my mother, he used to it's another side of light music, you might say. Who were the light composers? So the Silvery Moon comes into it somewhere. Anyway, my mother did do that, but there was a, I think, my father, when she went out, my father would have been at home. a lot of people at St Francis do not know that there was a choir right from the early start. Now, it's, I think St Francis started round about just after the 30s. And when I was a young lad of about six, seven or so, I was, my parents were in St Francis Choir, both of them, and so many people that I knew. It was a wonderful community. I can't say more about it. And I just saw my way through. And then Mr. McNess, who ran the boys' club, decided he would start a boys' choir. So under a gentleman by the name of Hughes, he detailed some dozen or so boys to be in the boys' choir, and I was one. And just happened once again that that's when my, I suppose when my voice showed itself as being a bit better than some of the others. And I was able to sing at weddings. What did we sing? Let the bright seraphim and Oh for the Wings of Love. You see what I mean? Those sort of things came my way. That's what led me into Berkeley School solos and that sort of thing. Yes, the choir practices were always on Fridays, and this boys' choir, I have to say I can't quite remember when it practiced. I'm not sure. But anyway, after a while, I don't quite know what happened. It may have been when Mr. McNess, over some years before, for some reason, the boys' choir petered out. But there was always a choir at St Francis, a balanced choir of men and women, some younger according to their parents. And I was one of, like my brother and sister, eventually all joined the choir there at St Francis. Fridays was choir practice night. Yes, Sunday was, yes, but it was mainly a morning service sometimes, an additional evening service, you see what I mean. We were so lucky in Wellington City because we had a music shop next to Pritchard's, which was next, I think, to Lloyd's Bank. And this music shop sold pianos to recorders, music, what do you call it, paper music. Yes, that's right, and records. And these were in the days of the 78s. And my pocket money was about enough to buy one 78, maybe a bit at the end of the week. But the great thing was, the ladies who ran this shop, whose name I can't remember at the moment, which is a shame, they let us go into this place where there were records in the shelves. There was what was called a radiogram in those days. In other words, a big unit with a loudspeaker and a turntable in it and so on. And we just simply went there. We looked and found a record that we fancied, took it out of its cover, and played it. And we used to spend, Saturday morning was spent, the first hour was spent in the Barkway restaurant, ogling the waitresses, who sometimes used to change their places, which was very annoying. And we went the following Saturday, we didn't want to know that. Anyway, so we did that first, and then we went into this music place. And we spent hours of our lives on Saturday mornings going through these records, and we were all, most of us were collecting these things. Now, to make a symphony, you'd need something like 3 to 4 records, but you'd only get one every week or two, according to what money you had. Because if you're doing Brahms Requiem, you needed at least 12 records of these Shellac records. The Eliots, that's right, exactly. What's called Eliots, that's right. Well, probably dispersed to our homes, I think. I tell you what we did. Oh, I know now, I remember now. Of course, this being a Saturday, I had a friend, John Way, who lives down in Wales now, sort of David's area. His mother, every Saturday night, would provide a cake and tea for about a dozen at least of us in one of the rooms. His father, who was an artist, used to sit in a corner of the room doing his painting. He did drawings of flying boats and ships. He was I forget the name of the artist that does that sort of thing. It doesn't come to me. Anyway, and we used to sit there and we used to play the records that we'd recently bought. Now, that was not very extraordinary. The two things that happened, I probably won't remember the second one. The first thing was that my friend John bought The Rite of Spring, which is a Stravinsky work, and it was when it was played first in Paris, it was all hell to pay. People made all kinds of rude noises, and they weren't happy about it at all. So we were subjected to this, and I must admit, it was pretty hard going on us. So in fact, John had to take these records back to the shop and get something else.